بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين، أفضل الصلوات وأتم التحيات، وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كلامه المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال تعالى: وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما. وقال تعالى: ألم نشرح لك صدرك. وقال تعالى: ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now we can move this up or back. Very weird. You check out this. See? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us immensely that we are able to sit and listen to a few words of the deen of Allah. Everyone say Alhamdulillah for that. First and foremost, before we begin the few housekeeping matters, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say any words of the deen, any khitab, any bayan about the deen, he would have the sahaba ikram come close together first. And the sahaba ikram would try to come as close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as possible, because the further we sit, the more room we have for discord, the more room shaitan has in between our hearts, and he creates differences between our hearts. If we sit together, our mind will also be together, our hearts will also be together, inshaAllah ta'ala. Please, if you don't have any reason to lean on the wall, please just come forward. Allah will give you barakat, inshaAllah. Secondly, we said that we're going to listen to a few words of the deen of Allah. Today's particular topic is a very azeem, magnificent, big, great topic that doesn't matter how much we speak about, doesn't matter how much we listen about it. It's such an ocean that you keep taking out with cups, you cannot enumerate how many cups are in that ocean. This ocean is the life of our beloved Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, it is like a person who dipped his finger in the ocean, and then he's comparing how much water came on his finger and how much is left in the ocean. A writer once wrote very well that مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي. He wrote a piece on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said that I have not been able to praise Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by my words. مَا إِن مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي وَلَكِن مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدٍ. sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, my piece, my writing, my words have been decorated, have been praised by the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the fact of the matter. It doesn't matter how much we gather together to, and how long the program is, will not be able to encompass the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the complete aspect of it. Each and every time we talk, there is an objective behind it. We have to understand that objective before we continue. That objective of a Sirat program, of a talk about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the demeanor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he spoke like, what he walked like, what he talked like, what clothes he wore, what he dealt with people like, etc., etc. Each one is a different entire ocean of its own, entire book and chapter of its own. And ulama ikram have written mustaqil, separate books on these topics for sure. Each one of them, ulama ikram have written books on. But our objective in this and all of these gatherings is to inculcate, is to bring that love, that muhabbat we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam back in our hearts. Many times, doesn't matter how good the iron is, doesn't matter how good the steel is, how powerful it is, it gets rusty. And the heart is stronger than any iron or steel out in the world. Allah put His Kalam, Kitabullah, in the hearts of these children. That which, if you put on a mountain, it would have shaken to bits and pieces. The mountain would not be able to take this Kitab of Allah. But Allah chose the hearts of human beings to take this kitab and preserve it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun," that we are the ones who revealed this dhikr, and we will protect it. We will be the protectors of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the most secure, the safest place that no fire can ever reach. No one can cut into pieces. No one can take out or delete. No one can erase out of it. No one can force it out of it. No one can rip it apart from there. Doesn't matter what they do. This is the heart of insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the strongest place. This heart gets rusty very often, for many reasons. Nonetheless, this muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the heart of every believer. It's a matter of remembrance. When you remember something more and more, that muhabbat, it comes back like the tides of the ocean. It continues to grow and grow and grow. First thing to understand, my dear brothers, elders and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose our Rasulullah, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, above all of mankind. He is the Mustafa. He is the selected one. He is the one that Allah elevated above all of mankind. And He elevated above all of mankind in every aspect of His body, every aspect of His life, every aspect of His character was above any other human being that was ever created, any other creation of Allah. This is our aqidah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He elevated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his aql, his reasoning. He says, "Ma kathaba," he says, "Ma dhalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa." Your sahib, this companion of yours, he doesn't go astray. He doesn't leave the path. His reasoning is 100%. He praised, he elevated, he selected his mind above all other minds. He says, "Ma kathaba al-fu'adu ma ra'a." This mind doesn't lie to what it saw. He elevated this chest above all other chests. He said, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak," that have we not vastened and opened your chest for you? He elevated He elevated the akhlaq of this Rasul, of this Nabi, of this personality, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He elevated the akhlaq and he said about him, he gave his own certificate, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim, that you are most definitely, without a doubt, on a great mode of conduct. Your akhlaq are the greatest that there can be. He elevated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect. He gave him and he elevated his dhikr. Anyone who remembers him will be elevated with this as well. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, we raised your dhikr for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues to say, he takes the swear of the daylight. He takes the swear of the night when it dissipates and it darkens. And he says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not forsaken you. Your Lord will never leave you. Rather, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Your Lord will give you until you are pleased. Until you are pleased. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ. He will please you. Ajib indeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums up all of these fadl, all of these great virtues in one part of an ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. The fadl of Allah, the blessings of Allah upon you are immense, are great, innumerable. If we go to count the virtues of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one after another, we wouldn't finish tonight. We wouldn't finish in a month. We'll continue on going. Shama'il Imam Tirmidhi, the great scholar of hadith, one of the six most authentic books that we study of hadith sharif. The last part of it is just on the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he gathered hadith after hadith. You can understand the second thing from this, my dear brothers and elders. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is the most well recorded life of all of mankind. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ is in front of our eyes. There is no other human being in the world who has his grey hairs counted when he passed away. Not any king of the world, not any master, not any landlord, not any great personality that you can think of has this much detail about his life. There are presidents that went in the past. Even such people, kings who call themselves وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, they call themselves gods. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. See where they are. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to say, call me nothing but عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Abdullah wa Rasulu. Aktham al-Sayfi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a leader of his tribe. Before he became Muslim, in the Arab tribes, he was a leader. He heard that there was a man who came out in Makkah Mukarrama, and he speaks ill of the gods that we worship, he speaks ill of the religion that's already there, and he says there's something else besides all of this. They said, I want to go and find out. These people said, you know, you're the leader of the tribe here. If you go then and something goes wrong, there could be some big problems that occur. Rather, we think you should send someone on your behalf and find out what you need to find out. So Khayr, they decided on this and they deputed two envoys, two representatives from his behalf. He sent them with three questions. And I want to highlight to you just one question today. They asked him three questions. They asked him, Man Anta? Who are you? They asked him, Man Anta? Who are you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them an astonishing answer. They were amazed by this answer. They were left thinking what he said after that. They asked him, who are you? And this is the Arab practice of the time, that if someone asked who am I would say my name, my father's name, my grandfather's name. I am the richest of this tribe. My father was the most powerful man. My grandfather was the bravest soldier. And they speak, they boast about their lineage. They boast about themselves, about their tribe. This man, they ask, Man Anta? He says, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. one statement. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. He said, what tribe? You don't tell us about what your father and grandfather was like. Nothing. They were amazed by this particular answer. Simple answer, very small. Why were they amazed? Because they went and found out after him that he was from the greatest of tribes of all of the Arabs. He was from the most powerful of the clan amongst that tribe, Banu Hashim. He was from the most noble lineage that went all the way up to Ismail alayhi salam, Quraysh. And they found out about all about this without him having to tell them or boast about himself or his tribe. This humility, this humbleness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had in him astonished them, was the first thing. They asked him after that, Ma anta? And the kings of the world, I told you, they answered, they gave these answers. In the past, Fir'aun said, Wa ana rabbukum al-a'la, I am your highest lord. Kisra and Qaisar of the Byzantine and Persian empires, they made their people bow to them. Anyone who came to their court had to stand as long as the king sat. This was the way they set it up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam majlis was something else. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, the time of Hudaybiyah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with 1400 muhrimin, they were in ihram already. They came for Umrah. And this is still, as it was for ages and ages, a haram, a sacred sanctuary. No one is to be killed, wronged, cursed in this area. It's a sanctuary. In today's time, we think if anyone goes into an embassy, goes into a United Nations building, a hospital, this is a safe haven. Haram is the original safe haven. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Durush sharif everyone one time. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud, he was one of the three people that the people of Makkah sent to find out what this man is talking about. See if we can negotiate with him. Urwa ibn Mas'ud was known as a diplomat, a very sharp speaker, and a negotiator. This is intertribal level, meaning foreign level. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, he came in and he went back to the people of Makkah and he gave such an account. He said that, I don't know what you think about these people or not, but this man has such people around him, such companions around him, that if he spits, they fight with each other to catch his spit in their hand. If he does wudu, if he goes to wash himself, they race with each other to catch the water before it falls the ground. You think you're going to put your hand on this man? Ali radiallahu anhu, he stood there that day as a guard when they were negotiating. And when he, forgetting was Ali radiallahu anhu, or a different sahabi, Abu Ubaidah I believe, radiallahu anhu, nonetheless, Urwa, they had a Arab practice, they would touch the person's beard in front of them. Playfully, Betakallufi we say, they would touch the beard of the person in front of them. He put his hand out to touch the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Ubaidah took his sword and the back of the sword, the handle of the sword, and he hid his hand. He said, Bi'adab, how dare you put your hand on the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, these are the people you're looking at. They don't have any weaponry with them. They're muhrim, but they're willing to give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my dear brothers and elders and sisters, this is a characteristic of iman. Our next point to understand. This is a characteristic of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If your fathers and your brothers and your children and your tribe and your wealth and your houses that you love so much and your business that you fear, it's lost so much. All of this is more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul. Than Allah and His Rasul. Later on in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say, فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Wait, wait for Allah's punishment to come down upon you. And later he even, Qadi Iyad says this. Very beautifully, he said, this ayat is enough to prove that muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a part of our iman. Later on in the ayat, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah doesn't guide the corrupt people. The sinners, Allah doesn't look to guide them when they continue on in their sin this way. This is a part of our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in riwayat of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he tells us that لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you will be a complete believer. None of you will be a proper believer. حتى أكون أحب إليه. Until I become more beloved to him. Until I become more beloved to him. Then من والده وولده والناس يجمعين. From his father, from his children, from his parents, from his children, and all of mankind, you will not be a complete believer. My dear brothers and elders, we are the ones who are called, we call ourselves mu'min. We want to not only live with iman, we want to die with iman, and we want to stand on the day of qiyamah under the flag of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with iman. Yes or no? Yes or no? Most definitely. This is a part of our iman. That we have muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam held his hand. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you are more beloved to me than everything except my own soul. Everything besides my own soul is nothing in front of your love. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ya Umar, hatta akuna ahabba ilayka min nafsik. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, until I become more beloved to you than your own self. Umar radiallahu anhu comes, the words come, badara Umar. He didn't delay. These were the Sahaba ikram, my dear brothers and elders, the ones who were willing to give their lives and their children and their families at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Badara Umar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, anta habbu ilayya min nafsi, al-an anta habbu ilayya min nafsi. Now you are more beloved to me than even my own self, my own soul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-an ya Umar, al-an. Now ya Umar, now your iman is complete. This is a part of our iman. And the Sahaba ikram, my dear brothers and elders, showed us what this muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant. What this was like. What kind of sacrifices they were willing to give for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we hear these stories, the benefit of this, most important benefit of this, is that we get a shock in our heart that where are we? Where were these people? Where are we? What is our iman like? When this situation, if it were to come in front of me, what would I have done? Here is Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu. Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiallahu anhu, one of the Ashra Mubashara. His students, the Tabi'in Ikram, they say, Ra'aytu yada Talha shalla. مِمَّا يَقِي بِهِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ. I saw the hand of Talha. I saw the hand of Talha was paralyzed from that day that he used that hand to save Rasulullah from every arrow that came to him. Every arrow that came toward Rasulullah, he saved with his own hand. And his students say, years, decades after that, I saw his hand paralyzed from that which he used to save Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. Here is Abu Talha. Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu, he was a very good archer, bowsman. He was a very good archer. It was well known that his target would never miss. Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu, he emptied the arrow cup in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, wajhi li wajhika fida'un ya Rasulullah. My face, me, I am fida qurbani in front of you, ya Rasulullah." He took arrows and he's targeting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he looks, he moves up to look, did it hit the target or not? He said, "La taf'al ya Rasulullah, don't do this. Maybe an arrow will come hit you when you go to look. Nahri duna nahrika ya Rasulullah. My soul for your soul. My neck for your neck, ya Rasulullah." These were the Sahaba Ikram who earned Jannah from this, my dear brothers. These were the Sahaba Ikram. Abu Dujana, on day of Badr, he used his shield to shield Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Without looking back, what's happening towards the back. Until an arrow came, hit him straight in the back. But he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam still in danger's way. He leaned on his shield in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until his whole back was completely full of arrows. But he didn't move, let one arrow hit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here is another Sahabi, Ibn Dathina radiyallahu anhu, Zayd ibn Dathina radiyallahu anhu. He was caught, this is right before or after Fath Makkah, around that time. He was caught by the mushrikeen and brought to a tree to crucify him. They said, "Zayd, don't you wish that Muhammad was in your place right now? Wouldn't you like if Muhammad was in your place right now?" Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu anhu, he said that, "Wallahi alladhi nafsi biyadihi," that "I swear by the one who has my soul in his hand, I wouldn't wish that where Rasulullah is today sitting, that a single thorn pricks his finger. And I would be in my family sitting safe and sound. I wouldn't allow a single thorn to prick Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, much less put him in my position for crucifixion." These were the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahabiya, I told you about, these are all male Sahaba. Sahabiya radiallahu anhunna, upon all of them, each and every one of them was a Kamil Wali of Allah by this suhbat that they got from Rasulullah, by this muhabbat they had of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One Sahabiya, she was waiting after the army was coming back from an expedition. Someone came, said, "Your husband died." Another one said, "Your father died." Someone said, "Your brother died." She's waiting. She said, "Where's Rasulullah?" When they said, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe," she said, "All of my worries are gone. Rasulullah is safe, everything I forgot it. My brother, my father, my sister is nothing if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe." This is that muhabbat they had in their heart. It entered into the depths, it surpassed all of the curtains of their heart, went into the deepest part of their heart. Inseparable. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha, the mother of Anas radiallahu anhu, she brought Anas radiallahu anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a young age, 10 years old. Said, "This is my son, Anas. He make him your khadim. Make him your khadim." Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I spent 10 years with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never cursed at me. He never hit me. He never said, "Why did you do that? Why didn't you do that? Lima sana'at, Allah sana'at. Why didn't you do that? Why did you do that?" In 10 years, this is a child who is a khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In 10 years, one time he didn't curse at me. One time he didn't hit me. this Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the sa'ah? When is the last hour? He said, what did you prepare for it? He said, I didn't prepare anything except I love Allah and His Rasul. Except I love Allah and His Rasul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be with those whom you love on the day of Qiyamah. You will be with the ones who you love on the day of Qiyamah. Anas radiallahu anhu, the rawi of the hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I am willing to give my entire life, my entire family and wealth for this one statement of Rasulullah, that a person will be with the one whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. I love Allah, I love His Rasul, I love Abu Bakr and I love Umar. Even though I don't have amal like any of them, I love them. On the day of Qiyamah, I wish to be with them, inshallah ta'ala. And my dear brothers and elders, these are stories of our akabir. These are stories of our predecessors, our role models in front of us. This is what we are supposed to be like. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave us a good tiding. He gave us some glad tidings, some good news. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told about some people that will come after him. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ. They would love to meet me, to see me one time, to see me, if they had to give up all of their family, their wife and children, and all of their wealth, they're willing to give it up if they can see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time. One time. And these will be very special people. These people never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and elders, we have this in front of us. The muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the next point to understand, the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an ibadat. It is an ibadat, a means of qurbat ilallah. When we say something is an ibadat, we have to understand, anything in the deen that is ta'abbudi, that has ibadat related to it, it has rules and regulations about it too. It has rules and regulations about it. And when you have an ibadat, you are explained that this is Asr Salah, you pray 4 rakat. 4 rakat means you do ruku this many times, you do sajda this many times, you have to pray at this time. All of the ta'abbudi issues. If we take the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an ibadat, then understand there are rules and regulations applicable to it too. In general, the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being an ibadat, a qurbat ilallah, something that Allah connected to His love. To His love. He said that, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then follow me. He connected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the love of Allah Himself. If we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also have the Shariat in front of us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not wish to be worshipped. He did not wish to be made dua to. Rather, he said, لا تتروني, don't be excessive about me. Don't go beyond the limits about me. Like the Nasara did with Isa ibn Maryam. These are boundaries set by the Sharia. And this is something we need to learn. If someone comes forward and they say, out of the muhabbat of Rasulullah, I'm going to do this X, Y, Z. We hold it by the tarazu, by the scale of the deen of Allah, the Shariat of Allah. And this is the deen, these are the rules of the deen. The ulama ikram are here to explain it to us. When they say that this is beyond the limits, we have to accept that it's beyond the limits. Say that this is necessary in our iman, we accept that is necessary in our iman. The fourth point, the next point to understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's muhabbat, a sign that a person has muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life, a sign that he has muhabbat in his life, is that he continuously makes durood sharif. Continuously excessively makes Durood Sharif. Inna awla an-nasi bi yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the closest people who will be to me, أكثرهم علي صلاة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The one who will make the most Durood Sharif on me, will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. Closest to me. And such a hukum of Durood Sharif, our khutaba say, when they give khatib, when they give khutbah, that he began this amr, this issue, this matter, this masla with himself, bi nafsihi, summa thanna bi malaikati qudsi. Then he said, my angels do this too. Summa thallathahu bil mu'minina. Then he said, after that, all of the mu'minin, min bariyatihi jinnihi wa insi, of insan and jinn, they are all ordered to do this hukum. What is it? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Send durood and salawat, salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Excessively. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a ratio to it too. Very easy. He said, man salla alayya wahidatan. Person who does durood on me one time. Sallallahu alayhi ashra. Allah will send 10 times that blessing on him. 10 times that blessing on him. One time. Everyone say it one time. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabi ajma'in. One time Durood Sharif. Allah sent 10 times on you. Allahu Akbar. There's a little secret. Another secret in Durood Sharif itself. That secret is important to understand as well. Our Shaykh Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Hazrat Wala Mufti Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, explains to us, many times he explained that this Durood Sharif has a secret in there that many people don't understand. This is a means of protecting our Tawheed. Durood Sharif is a way of protecting the Tawheed of the Muslimin. Tawheed, the Aqeedah that Allah is one and only. Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who takes. Allah is the one who gives life. Allah is the one who gives death. Allah is the one who makes you laugh. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ إِذَا تُمْنَى. That this, he is the one who is جَامِعُ الْأَضْدَادِ, the one who gives life and he gives death. He makes you laugh and he makes you cry. One day, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى. He gives treasures and he gives poverty, he gives treasures, and he gives rahat with that treasure too. People have millions of dollars, they don't have peace in their heart, they can't sleep one night. He gives wealth and he gives rahat, he gives peace with that wealth too. He is the one who makes male and he makes female. He is the one who gives life and he gives death. No one else but him. Qadirul Mutlaq is only Allah. Alimul Ghaib wa Shahada is only Allah. This aqidah of Tawheed that we have, let someone and thinks that the kamalat, the merits, virtues, the high stature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has, na'udhu billah, some part in uluhiyyah too, na'udhu billah. That they start calling him a god too, like the Christians did with their Nabi. To protect the Muslimin from this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif is a dua. It's an application in front of Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah, send your salawat upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma sallim alayhi. Allah, send your salam upon him. Send your peace upon him. Send your blessings upon him. This is a way that we are asking Allah to send this upon Rasulullah. If we are saying Allah is sending it upon Rasulullah, if we're asking Allah to send it upon Rasulullah, that means Allah is someone else and Rasulullah is someone else. Yes or no? Allah is someone else and Rasulullah is someone else. There's no chance that someone's going to now say Rasulullah, na'udhu billah, has some part of Godship. Impossible. And the person who does more and more durood, one sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What time is Maghrib, Dr. Sahab? 5 more minutes. Achiva, mashallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabi ajma'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time a man came to him, he asked him, Rasulullah, when Sahabi came to him, he said, how much should I send salawat upon you? How much should I send salawat upon you? He said, should I do half of my nafal ibadat? Half of my ibadat should be durood upon you? He said, it's good. If you do more, it's better for you. Then he said, I should make it 2/3. I'm going out of order, just to explain. 1/3, 1/2, 2/3, 3/4, 7/8. And he keeps on going. And so he says, Ya Rasulullah, after my farz and wajib, I will make all of my nafal ibadat durood upon you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that's best for you. What will that do for you? Any grief that you have in your life, Allah will remove that for you. Any problem you have in your life, Allah will solve it for you. Any wish that you have, desire you have in your heart, Allah will give it to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a way to have our dua accepted. When we make dua to Allah, or any ibadah to Allah, it goes through checkpoints in the heavens. It goes through checkpoints. Do you have easy pass in this one? Make sure you have your license properly in this one. Make sure your insurance is on properly. Your license plate is on. Your ibadat, your dua goes through checkpoints too. Each one is a different checkpoint. Each one is a different checkpoint. One checkpoint is ikhlas. Any ibadat has two basic conditions. First one is ikhlas. That am I doing it only for Allah? Passes that checkpoint, goes to the next. Ittiba. Second basic condition of every ibadat, ikhlas. And number two, ittiba. Is it in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is it in accordance to the deen, shariat, that came upon the tongue, the body, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the importance of sunnah in our life, our next and final point to understand. The taqadah. When someone loves someone, they want to have hair like them, they want to wear the same clothes as them, they want to cut their beard like him, they want to wear the same clothes as him, they want to do what he does, they want to eat what he eats. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I saw Rasulullah, we went to a da'wat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look how humble. He went to a da'wat in a tailor's house. Common, day laborer. Give da'wat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. Ajib. He went to a da'wat. He saw that, yes, what do you have? They brought him some salan with kaddu in it. Gourd, when you say in English. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through the dish and he's looking for the piece. He finds the piece, he picks it up, he eats it. Anas radiallahu anhu said, Since the day I saw Rasulullah looking for that kaddu in the salan, I never had a meal since then, that I did not have kaddu in it. I saw Rasulullah looking for it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah was on the minbar giving khutbah. The sahaba were coming in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, have a seat, sit down. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was at the door. He sat down in the door. He was in the door, the entrance. He sat down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood. He understood that this is ittiba'. He knows what this means. My hukum came down, but he didn't delay. He sat on his spot. He said, Abdullah, come. Come closer. Each and every sahabi, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was famous for this. Anywhere he went, safar, he looked for the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he was going on his safar, and he stopped the camel, he came down, used the bathroom, came out. Again, after a while, they said, Hazrat, you just used the bathroom, what happened, why did you go again? He said, I didn't have to use the bathroom. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit there to use the bathroom. So I did that just to emulate and copy what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to look for the tree under which Rasulullah sat one time. He used to go there and sit just to copy Rasulullah one time. This was what muhabbat means. When a person says they have muhabbat, doesn't mean they get together when someone dies, when someone is born, when a birthday comes around, when they have this, when they have that occasion, and sometimes we sit and read Durood Sharif, sometimes we stand and read Durood Sharif. This has nothing to do with muhabbat. Muhabbat is ittiba'u sunnati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Following the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what muhabbat means. And my dear brothers and elders, the final thing I'll say, as the time is pretty much in now, we need to educate ourselves. The seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an ocean, I said, an ocean in front of us. If only we open, Uswa Rasul Akram. I was looking through the book today, ajib. Hadrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala, Hadrat Hakim ul-Ummah, Hadrat Hanawi rahimahullah ta'ala's Khalifa, such a great buzurg of just the last generation, Uswa Rasul Akram, he put in that book the every day of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, step by step, how he used to do this, how he used to eat, how Shama'il al-Tirmidhi is in front of us. These books we have in front of us, practical books, seerah books. With this I want to say that even the inanimate jamadat, the plants, nabatat, animals who didn't understand, who are ghaydi uqul, hayawanat, when they understood what this Nabi, what this human being, what this shakhsiyat was like, the stones gave salam to Rasulullah. The tree that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lean on to give khutbah, cried for him when he stopped leaning on it. The moon split by his finger. Camels came running to him. Take me for qurbani ya Rasulullah, take me for qurbani ya Rasulullah. Take me for your nahar. These are animals, plants, inanimate creatures, being things that don't have aqal in them. We human beings, mu'mineen, ummati of Sayyidul Mursaleen, Khatimul Anbiya wal Rusul, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can't take this much time out of our lives to learn the ways and life of our Habib, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If indeed, then we will be a very big zalim upon ourselves. Allah protect us from this. Allow us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring complete muhabbat in our life. Allow us that every time the sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, fida'un laka abi wa ummi, my mother and father sacrifice at your feet, Ya Rasulullah. Every statement they said, your father, my father and mother, qurbani at your feet, Ya Rasulullah. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And give adhan peace.